Hi, everybody. This is Spill the Tea with Jimmy C podcast episode 3 with me, your host, Jim, and our wonderful guest, Shona. Welcome to the Spill the Tea podcast. How are you?
Jim, I'm super excited for this.
It's a bit different this time round, isn't it? Because we will talk about it later on, and we probably reference through it quite a few times today, but Shona actually does her own podcast, and I guest on the podcast once a month, and it's normally the other way around. So Shona's normally asking me and leading the conversation, and then I sit and wobble on for an hour, half an hour, or however long it takes to record it. So just a bit on foot. The shoe is on the other foot, shall we say, today. So.
It is. It's nice to be on the other side of the table, if you like. I can relax a little bit more. I don't have to prepare all my questions and press record, and like the one we did the other day where I couldn't find the stop record button and nearly ended the meeting.
Oh, don't worry. When I recorded another one of these, I think I had to do the ending part 3 times because I couldn't even remember what the podcast was called, and that shows early days of doing podcasts, you just forget. So yeah, episode 3, welcome Shona. Today we're going to be talking to Shona about who she is, what she does, what her hobbies are, and just some sort of general chit chat. But with all these podcasts, there is a sort of topic, there are running orders, and let's get into it anyway. So Shona, as part of these podcasts, we open up the floor to you. So please tell us about you and what you do.
Thanks, Jim. So yeah, I'm Shona. I am a HR consultant and I run a business called Lilac HR. So my whole background in my career, it has been in HR. I've worked in corporate HR for the last 10 years. And then in 2018, I was chatting to my then fiance, because we hadn't got married at that point. And I was really, really fed up of all the corporate nonsense you get in corporate roles. I was fed up of all the bureaucracy and the paperwork getting in the way of me actually being able to make a difference to people and really do my job properly. And I was sick of commuting as well. I was sick of commuting and having to pay someone else to walk my dogs and not getting time to ride my horse and not getting time to go to the pub and do fun stuff. So I decided to start out on my own, and I did it as a bit of a side hustle for a couple of years and then took it full time in June 2020. So we were mid-pandemic at the time. No time like the present to just leap in and go self-employed. But it's been a really, really awesome journey. It's been fantastic. And I think I've learned so much about business and about myself, and met some awesome people in the process.
Yeah.
Plus I've now got more time. I've walked my dog more than ever. I've ridden my horse more than ever. Yep. Like, having horses is a lifestyle choice. And I think since I was 13, I've had my own horse, and I've had to do my own horse before school, before work, and all the rest of it. So for the last like 20 years, I have been doing my horse in the dark for 6 months of the year through the winter. And this was the first year that I didn't have to do that. There were a couple of nights and a couple of mornings where I was like, oh, it's a bit early, a bit dark. But it was only for a couple of weeks. And the rest of the time it was in daylight. And that is massive.
That's brilliant. And I definitely, I agree on that. And I think with my company, you've got to do the work that you're required to do. You've got to service your clients, and for any of our clients listening, which they will be, because we're going to make sure that they listen to this, we don't put you to the bottom of the pile, but we make it work. So we do everything that needs to be done, but running your own business, you've got to make it, there's got to be some plus sides from it. Because running your own business, if you need to take some time off during the day to go out and, deal with your horses, or if I go and deal with my kids or whatever, you can then work a bit more the next day, or you can work later on in the evening, or, you can make it work. You mentioned about the fact that you were doing the HR as a side gig. Did you find that difficult? Because I know from myself, when we first started up SST, I was doing other jobs around it, and it wasn't really until about 2015, 2016 that I put all my all into the job. And circumstances changed. So did you, from your experience, did you find that difficult, or was it fairly easy, or?
Initially, it was pretty easy. So I just kind of spent my weekends doing things like building the website and getting bits and bobs together and kind of working out a plan and working out how I was going to structure the business so that I had like regular income, so it wasn't quite so hand to mouth as it can be. But then as we kind of progressed through 2018 and 2019, once we'd The reason that we held off on going self-employed was because we were getting married. So we had the wedding booked for October 2019. So once the wedding was done, it was a little bit like, right, business time now. And luckily, I'd made a transition into a job which was much more local. So it was a mile from my house as opposed to being the other side of Peterborough, which is like an hour's commute for me. So that helped a lot. And then as that particular contract was coming to an end and I knew that I was going to go self-employed, that's when it got hard because I knew that I needed to ramp up what I was doing. I had to ramp up my social media, I had to ramp up networking, I had to really, really put my all in. And I was doing it before work, on my lunch breaks, after work, on the weekends, and that was and also handle a pandemic. So I was a standalone HR professional looking after 250 employees as we hit a pandemic, knowing that I'm going to leave the business in May to go and do my own thing. So there was an awful lot going on, and it was really hard, and I got really, really overwhelmed with everything. I think everybody did when COVID hit. So yeah, running it as a side hustle was really difficult, but it made my decision to go all in much more clear, and I was much more happy with that decision because I knew that, okay, if this is what I've achieved doing it on the side, not really making an effort, imagine what I can achieve when this is all I am doing. And it's paid off.
Did you find it scary taking that leap potentially from, because it's lovely, isn't it, being in a full-time job where you're paid a wage and you get your holiday and you get your sick leave and all the things are covered, to go into a job where you're not too sure when your next sort of paycheck is going to be? And I can absolutely, a lot of the, when people stand there and they say, oh, I understand what you're going through, I absolutely do, because there was times when we got with our company where we got to points where we were going to go, shit, we don't know when we're going to get any more money, and you do sit there and you do think like that, and you have to build up that, you have to build up your clients and stuff. So did you, was that same for you as well with what you were trying to do?
It was and it wasn't. So it was scary from that point of view. You're completely right, where you're just like, well, shit, I don't know where my paycheck's coming from. This is fun. But I actually, through ramping up prior to June when I went self-employed, I'd signed two or three new clients before I even took the leap. So I had a bit of money there. And we really took advantage of the pandemic, which sounds horrible, but we took payment holidays on everything for like 3 months. We were just like, right, not going to pay any bills. So it just gave us that breathing space because, in the last 3 years, we've bought a house, had a wedding, and built a business. And I had no money to back this up. I didn't have anything saved up, no backup plan. I was just like, we're doing this. And if I cock it up, I'll just go and get another job. Like,
And
whatever.
that, and I think that's a, I definitely have thought that as well. I definitely thought, do you know what? I think qualifications talk, experience talks. If it all goes wrong, then you have got that fallback. But you don't want it to go wrong, and you thrive, and you, the keenness and the drive and the passion makes you make the business work. And I like that. We've, oddly enough, we've never, I think we talked about this on one of your podcasts,
Yeah, we
we've
did.
only briefly met for a small period of time at an event, but we've never actually met face to face because of the pandemic. However, we get on really well, and the our thoughts are the same in the fact of business, because we want our businesses to thrive, and we want to be the best out there, and we want the business to work well and service the clients that we have and promote the business. And you can't do that. Time is, I don't know if you think, but I think that time is more valuable to a certain extent than money. And if I've put into our business, I wasn't able to put in a lot of finance at the beginning. My time was my giving to the business. And that's made it thrive, basically.
Yeah, I think your time, you're never going to get your time back, but you can always make more money. That's what I think. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's been really difficult setting up a business in the middle of a pandemic. We've been super lucky that my husband has been able to work throughout. He didn't get furloughed. We've been very lucky in that respect, which has taken the pressure off me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we have probably never been so skint, but I have never been so happy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been in these big corporate jobs. I worked for a global IT company. I've worked for national social care companies, so where you're earning a good wage, but you're just miserable. Mm. And I've spent so much time worrying about whether or not I've done a good enough job for other people, or what someone else is going to think of my work performance. And I can't even tell you how much I don't miss that. I really don't.
And the whole thing about running your own business is that, in the nicest way possible, you're putting money into your pocket rather than somebody else's. And I think that's one of, you know, I'm the same. I've worked for other people. I've worked for other organizations. And I just sit there and think, why am I lining somebody else's pockets when I can line my own? You know, anybody out there is thinking, oh, that's a bit of an out of order comment to say. Well, that's just the way it is, basically. While running your own business, you're filling up your pockets and not somebody else's. So
yeah, like, we've all got to work, haven't we? And we've just got to find what works for us, whether that's stacking shelves in a supermarket or having a really high flying career where you're down in London in one of those high rise buildings, or whether you're working for yourself. It's just it's got to be about what works for you. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that in all of the jobs I've had, I've never felt like, A, I never felt like I fit in.
Yeah.
B, I never felt like it really worked for me. So, you know, I've worked with brilliant teams, don't get me wrong. They've always been super awesome and accepting. I've never been like the outcast or the black sheep. but I always just felt like, these aren't my people. Like, I'm such a little country bumpkin. I don't like going to London. I don't like going to the big city. I like being out in the countryside. I like weekends where all we do is go down the local pub with the dogs. Like, you know, they just weren't my people. And now I work for myself. I'm connecting with more of my sort of people, and the people that I can relate to and that relate to me.
And I've lived in London until my early 30s, and I'm not a massive fan, not necessarily because of the people, but I've lived in Norfolk now for 5 or 6 years, and this is what I really enjoy living here. And I think that going back and going into that bustling, busy life doesn't work for me anymore. And when we get a job in London, I almost get sweats on thinking, oh, I've got to go back into London again. Just can't cope. However, some people thrive. Some people thrive on that sort of stuff. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier on, and she said that her son works in London, and he absolutely loves it. But he does miss it at the moment, because that hustle and bustle was not there. But pre-COVID, and hopefully to a certain extent post-COVID, or when things settle down a bit more, that will go back. And they, people like that. I worked in central London for years, and I didn't like it. I was just doing the same thing day after day, because you just get into that routine. So
yeah, I it's completely the same. Like, I've got a really, really close friend, really best friend actually of mine. I can't even just say close, she's like proper bestie. She also works in HR. She loves going down to her London office, absolutely adores working in the London office. I hated traveling to London for work. I hated the 4 a.m. alarm. I hated the fact that I didn't get home till 9 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. Hated the train journey. I just hated it. Yeah. Sorry, Londoners. I hated it. It's not for me.
It's just not. Yeah, and I'll second that. It's not for me anymore. I used to be fine with it, but not anymore. So, what if you don't mind? What was it you described your other half as earlier on?
Yeah,
that was brilliant. I missed that. I've got to have it. I've got to have it on this. Dan, lovely bloke. I know. I've met Dan. And you know, he's a great guy. What was it you just he was described as this morning in our meeting?
Let me get it right. It's something like the guitar playing, Harley Davidson riding, cowboy hat wearing son of a gun.
Yes, I like that. And I heard that and I sat there listening this morning. Through our businesses, Shona and I are part of a business networking group. And yeah, we can say that. We're part of BNI. And that's how we met. And we know quite a few other people through that as well. And if they're not listening to this, they will be severely dealt with. So please listen. But Shona did a presentation earlier on, and each time somebody does one, they do a bit about the person. And the person reading out Shona's bio read it exactly like that, exactly how you just said. You've got to say it again for purposes.
I think the words were, Shona's spouse is the guitar playing, Harley Davidson riding, cowboy hat wearing son of a gun.
Excellent. That is, do you know what?
I can't claim credit for that because that was absolutely his best man put that into the speech in the other one.
It's brilliant, though.
He gets full credit for that.
Brilliant, though. He needs to have a tattoo on his arm that says that exactly.
I mean, he does have a tattoo that says cowboy up his arm. Yeah.
So does he really?
Yeah.
Oh. We were doing, for everybody listening, we did a virtual murder mystery event a few weeks ago through our networking group. And it was prearranged and everybody got given their parts. However, this time round, and some people might laugh if they're in it before, I wasn't. But this time round, the murderer wasn't told pre the event, because last time I think apparently it went a little bit wrong and somebody said who they were and they weren't, and the person who was didn't know that they were, but I wasn't there, unfortunately. But
virtual murder mysteries are very complex, apparently.
But, yeah, they are. And hats off to Richard for organizing that. But this one that we went to, was it based on Love Actually, wasn't it, the film? But it was slightly,
was it? No, was I thought it was based on I thought it was some sort of it was an art gallery thing, wasn't it? Well, I don't, it was called, was it called something? It was Death Actually, that's what it was called.
Have you not seen, have you seen Love Actually?
Yeah, I didn't feel it was based on Love Actually.
Did you not? Michaela and I were sitting there going, Michaela, my wife, was sitting going, that person was that person, and that person was, and I think it was. I think. Anyway.
I mean, if it was, I didn't cotton on to that.
Oh, anyway, it was a really good evening, and we're all given different parts, and I was the slightly eccentric German, Austrian, Azerbaijanian speaking art man, what was your part?
I think I was the office slag.
Yeah, that's how we do it on here, just say as it is. Yeah I think, yeah, you were, weren't you?
I was the PA to the owner, who definitely fancied him or something.
The Jezebel like of the the office, yeah. And Dan was the American president, and he had that accent down to a T. And when he came on, Michaela said to me, God, that's good, I like his accent, that's a good one, that is. And he had, and do you know what? And we talked about it at the time, and I've actually been to their place, Sovereign Quarter Horse. There's a shout out for them on the podcast. They produce some, they do horse riding and they do the stables, and they also, and tell, I'm not a horse person, so if I get the terminology wrong, jump in at any point.
I'm ready to correct you.
Yeah, it's not like that, it's like this. Do you know what? When the first time I saw the word livery, I actually pronounced it livery. And I got told, no, that's not right. And I had no idea what it was. So I then got corrected. And they've got a shop. And in there, they actually produce genuine hats. Is there a...
Really cowboy hats as
really,
well.
Really... really cowboy. Is there a proper term for it? Do you know? Is there...
It's just the brand. They're cowboy hats, but so lots of people call them Stetsons. But
Stetson, that's what I was told. Yeah,
Stetson's not a type of hat. Stetson's actually just a brand. So for example, the cowboy boots that you often see Dan trotting about in, they're Stetson boots because it is just a brand. So the hats that Sovereign Quarter Horses stock are by Greeley.
Right, and you've got to be able to pull that off. And I said to Michaela, "Can I pull that off?" And she just looked at me and went, "No." I looked at the hats, and I like a hat, and I looked at them, and I thought, I'd be really cool in that. And then I saw Dan wear it, and I went, he's way cooler than me. And the fact I didn't realise he wears the boots, I'd never be able to pull them off. I'll just stick with my Reebok trainers.
That is all he wears. I mean, he wears, like, obviously different footwear for work, but, like, outside of work, it's cowboy boots all the way, unless it's muddy, and then it's wellies. But, yeah, he lives in his cowboy boots.
Oh,
he loves
nice.
It. We actually had a conversation about whether or not you can pull off hats, because my dad bought me a lovely fedora hat for my birthday, and I absolutely love it. And we just said, God, we just really pull off hats, me and Dan. I don't know what it is. We've obviously got the right shaped head for it. Obviously, just got a big noggin.
Well, I have the same problem, right? So much so that I can't wear normal baseball caps. I have to buy a brand called Flixie Fit, where they've got elastic at the back and no strap bit. So, and I buy all the, and the problem is they're like 15 quid more than a normal baseball hat, but they're worth it because I look after them. And and then it also covers up when hairdressers have been closed and you can't have a haircut very well. So that's why I've got one on today. For those, you know, unless you're watching the videos or we use the videos, I'm wearing a baseball cap because I've got bad hair day. Brilliant. So, quick question for you: what's your favorite Nando's order or favorite takeaway?
Okay, well, I think Nando's is incredibly overrated, so
okay,
I don't have a favorite Nando's order,
okay,
because I actually think it's a bit shit.
Okay.
It's just chicken and chips, people. my favourite takeaway. It really depends what I'm in the mood for, but I do love...
You can say more than one, it's fine. Just you can say, if you've got multiple ones you like, it's fine.
I like a good pizza.
Nice.
A good, a Texan barbecue from Domino's is a pretty sweet choice.
Yeah.
Or I really enjoy... a chicken korma, but I don't get rice with it. I just get a peshwari naan, so it's like super sweet and super coconutty.
Yeah.
I will pretty much just eat anything, though. I'm not really fussy.
Nice. Yeah. I love a pizza. I love an Indian. You know, I love all sorts of takeaway food. So
the only thing I won't eat is KFC, because I had proper southern fried chicken when I went to Memphis in Tennessee, and just nothing compares. You just...
When did you... That's a bit of a... You kept that quiet. When did you go to... You probably said it and I probably wasn't listening. When did you go to... Tell us about that there. I was going to move on to something different now, but I want to hear about Memphis. I do like a bit of country music. I went through a stage a few years ago of listening to country radio just all the time. And now and again, I'm the sort of person that if you look at my iTunes, my iPhone, I don't have albums. I just have loads of songs.
Yeah.
And you're gonna. I don't know whether you're gonna say it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I really got into a few years ago that program Nashville.
Oh my God, Nashville is the best thing on TV.
Why have we never spoken about this before? I really got into that. Unfortunately, it was on Sky, so it was on Sky box sets, and I downloaded them all, but it only went up to like series 3 or 4.
Mate, you've not even... Oh my God!
And then I tried to find them elsewhere, and I couldn't get them on any of the streaming services, and I was like, oh, and then I sort of gave up. But whilst watching it, as you do with programs where they've got songs, I downloaded all the albums. Now, who is it? Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah.
She was in Heroes, and I was like, yes, I like her. I like her from Heroes. And then she was in this, and I was like, oh, she can sing as well. And who I can't remember the actors. Who's the other female singer?
Oh,
but she's been other stuff. I can't remember her name.
I want to say Carrie, but I don't think that's right.
I can't remember what her name is.
No, but I love her.
Yeah, and she and I didn't know she sung either. I didn't know she sung either. So I'm coming on. I'm thinking, I've seen her and I've seen her. And then they start singing song. And then it was it was brilliant. And then as it went on and went on and went on, because then the girl played the daughter, did a song with one of the blokes from One Direction. And of course, I knew who she was from the programme. And the song came out, and of course the kids loved it. The girls loved the song because it's the bloke from One Direction. And they were like, "Who's that woman?" I was like, "Oh yeah, she's from Nashville." And everyone was like, "What's that?" I was like, "Oh."
I'm upset that you've not even finished it, because it is...
How many series were there? Or how many seasons?
I can't even remember, but there's way more than three. I used to watch it on Now TV. Because you can get all the Sky box sets on there. I don't know if it's still on there, but... Oh, I might even start that again, because I haven't watched it in ages. I love
it.
If you enjoyed the music, Charles Esten, who plays Deacon, he's released a couple of albums as well, which are really good.
He has, yes, because I didn't download them, but I'm a bit of a... When I watch programmes, I'll go on to... Even though it's not always right, and there's probably people out there going, "Oh, it's not always right, it's not as kept up to date." I go on to Wikipedia and start to look around Wikipedia and go, "Oh, that person." I try not to read the story ahead, because that will destroy it. But Wikipedia has become different recently. Newer stuff, or stuff that's current, they won't tell you what happens ahead. Where before, they used to give it all away. So I went on there once to watch something, to look at something, and it told me the end. And I went, "Oh, well, I know that's happening now." So it's a bit of a killer. But yeah, so I saw that he does some stuff, but I'm going to go and see if I can find that again. I'm going to go on the hunt.
Because Nashville is, like, here's a factoid for you. Nashville is the only TV show that has made me cry on more than one occasion.
Oh, right. Okay.
So good. So good.
It is good. And the one of the guys who's in it, who I can't remember the names because it's a while ago since I watched it, but one of the guys who was in it, who played the guitar with blonde hair girl, he's British. And he was in another program. He's the really tall guy. Oh, I can't remember what his name is now. But there was the blonde girl, wasn't there, who came and sung, and then she teamed up with the other guy who played guitar, and they did a bit of a duo thing. He's British. Now, I was watching another programme, and he just appeared. And I went, "That's the bloke from Nashville." And of course, then I went, "Is it?" And of course, then I looked a bit more online and went, "Oh, he's a British actor. He's an English actor."
So. He was British.
English.
There you go. Yeah, you need, mate. You need to finish that series.
Well, like, I'm going to do that.
So much to that story you don't even know yet.
So anybody out there listening, Nashville, watch it.
If you like, you know, a real good heroine who is like super sassy and has just got her shit together. Mm. Brilliant. Proper. It's a real good drama. Really good.
So anyway, going back to what I was saying. So yeah, Nashville. And of course, then I then thought, "Oh, I want to go there." I got a little bit of a bug, and then listened to country music and thought, "I want to go there. It, you know, it'd be really nice to go and just see what everybody does." And obviously, never got around to it. Can't do it at the moment because I'm not allowed to travel. But
I can recommend Nashville. Nashville was super, super awesome. It's a little bit commercial though, like it's proper touristy, which a lot of the places you go to are. But like you're really into your music, aren't you? And I think if you like blues, go to Memphis, because it's all proper. It's a little bit country. It's like country blues kind of mix. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more soul in Memphis.
Yeah.
So much more soul. It just, yeah, you connect with it way more. It's really, really awesome place.
Nice. Yeah, definitely.
If you go to Memphis, you have to go to Gus's world famous fried chicken house, because it's just the
best. And that's where you had the best chicken ever at Trump's KFC.
The best fried, like KFC might as well be dog food compared to oh, that and a jug of sweet tea. Oh, I was in heaven.
Oh, nice. So our conversation about takeaways has gone into a whole conversation about Nashville and the best Southern Fried Chicken that you can have. So, cool. So, you did mention before you're a very horsey person.
Yeah, just a smidge.
Tell us about that then.
Okay, so I got plonked on a Shetland pony when I was 3 years old,
yeah,
and never really grew out of it, basically. So I've had horses all of my life. And yeah, I was super lucky to have ponies as a kid. Super, super lucky to be able to go to pony club, mm-hmm, and learn how to ride. And I had, I got my first proper horse when I was 13. So his name was Rodney, and he was an utter plonker. my mum wanted to change his name. She was like, you can't call a horse Rodney, that's awful. She's like, no, it needs to be something else. I was like, nah, keep it as Rodney, that's all right, that. And honestly, it suited him down to the ground. He was cracking. But yeah, I was talking to my mum and dad actually a couple of months ago, because kids don't get taught life lessons anymore. Like,
no, that's right.
You're just kind of pottering about doing your own thing. So when I was 13, me and my friend used to go out riding for hours just on our own. And like, the drama that you can have out riding on your horses is, it teaches you so many lessons. Like, we had my friend's horse twisted a shoe, so which meant that we couldn't ride her home. So we got stranded and had to work out how we were going to get home. My friend fell off a lot. I was always having to just check nothing was broken and then chuck her back on her horse. You learn how to deal with lots and lots of different things, and you learn resilience as well, because horses often don't want to do what you want them to do. So you learn very, very quickly that sometimes it doesn't go your way, and that's okay. You just try again tomorrow. I remember going out for a ride and something had spooked my horse. I was on my own. I was probably about 14 or 15, and something had spooked my horse, and he properly freaked out about it. So I thought, what I'll do, because he was really just spooked and freaking out. So I thought, right, what I'll do is I'll get off. He'll be able to see me and he'll remember that I'm with him and we'll be fine. I got off and went, it's all right, mate. And I gave him a pat and said, it's okay, it's okay. And he went, nah, fuck this. And he just ran. And I was like, oh. Oh, no. So I got on the phone to my mum and was like, mum, I've lost Rodgers. And I'm running through these woods trying to catch up with him.
Rodney!
I was screaming his name. I was like, Rodgers! Chasing after him. And I found him. He jumped into a farmer's field, which was fenced and gated off. So very, very happy that he was safe. I climbed over the fence.
Yeah.
Got in there and was like, right, we'll take you to the gate and I'll get back on and everything will be fine. Got to the gate, which was padlocked. So I was then like, I've got my horse in a padlocked field. And I don't really want to tell the farmer that I've just kind of broken into his field. That was How do I get out of this? So the answer was to get back on and G up good old Rodney and jump out of the field so that we could get on our merry way.
And I suppose with a horse, like maybe a bit different with a dog, if a dog decides that they don't want to do what you tell them to do, then you make them do what they're meant to do. I suppose with a horse, even if it's a little horse, you're definitely not, you know, it's going to go, I ain't doing that. And it's going to tell you or pull you.
And most horse people will agree with me. The smaller they are, the less likely they're going to comply. They're actually little devil children.
Yeah. And they may look small, but they're really powerful.
Yeah, and really, really strong-willed as well. Like, we've got a miniature Shetland called PK.
Yeah.
He is, like, approaching his 20s now. He's getting a bit old. He is still the naughtiest pony you will ever come across. You're like, PK, just stay in this field, please. He's like, nope.
And they say that kids don't do as they're told. And horses are... Somebody, interesting thing I needed to ask, right, about horses, and I sort of heard this the other day, because I'm not a horsey person. When you hold the reins of a horse, is it true that you should never wrap your reins around your arms or inside the reins? Because,
yes.
Right, because I heard a bit of a horror story where somebody had wrapped their arms in the reins. A dad had wrapped his arms in the reins to help his daughter get off the horse. The daughter then, the horse then got spooked, ran off and pulled his arm, and then kicked him in the face.
Oh God!
And he survived, but he had to have a plate in his neck, or and he, I know he had a plate in his shoulder where it ripped his arm and it booted him in the face. He didn't break any bones, which was really lucky. But yeah, so you should never wrap your arms in the reins.
No, because horses respond to pressure. Mm-hmm. So if a horse feels like it's trapped or if it's got pressure, it's going to try to get away from that. Mm-hmm. You know, like if someone comes up to you and grabs your side really hard, you're going to go, oh my God, get away. Mm-hmm. Whereas if someone comes up to you and just places their hands on your side, you're just going to go, okay, this mm-hmm. is fine. Same thing with horses. And yeah, if you've got an average size horse, it probably weighs about half a ton. Yeah. So if you've wrapped something around your hand and you've got half a ton of animal traveling 40 miles an hour in the opposite direction, it's going to hurt 100%.
Game over.
Yeah, like it's, I've been super lucky in that I've only ever had one really bad accident in all the years that I've had horses. And, you know, I've had plenty of falls and tumbles and stuff, and I've even fell off and landed on my feet. How I did that, I don't know. But
ninja skills.
I felt like a proper ninja.
Did you go, hiya, when you just...
what it was, I had a thoroughbred at the time, and she was a bit of a psychopath, and we weren't getting on. We were having a bit of a day where we were clashing. I think it was hormones. And I said to my friend, I'm not riding that thing, you can ride it. Yeah. So me and my friend swapped, and Hannah, bless her heart, but anything that even if it's bucking and going mental, she'll sit on it. So I said, Hannah, you can ride that. And I took my friend's horse out, went out, had a lovely ride, coming back into the driveway, ducks flew out of the dike. Honestly, kamikaze ducks are the worst thing when you've got on a horse. And my friend's horse span around so quickly that I fell off, and I don't even know what happened. I just, one minute I was on the horse and the next minute I was stood on the ground, and I was like, this is amazing. Don't know how I did that.
I would have stood there and gone, yeah, or I would have gone, and thank you, and just.
I wish I'd had a camera. I was like, "How does someone?"
Well, you know what went on in your mind, so you can tell the story of it. But so you're very. I'm gaining from what you said, and sorry to any listeners who can hear. My dogs have started barking in the background. They're another one which are a pain in the backside when it comes to dealing with. So as a very experienced horse person, is there a correct word? Can you say horsey person? I don't know if that's offensive.
Yeah,
I don't want to offend the horse community. I'm not a horsey person. So as a horse person, can you give a pearl or a nugget of wit, you use that phrase, nugget of wisdom around, you know, what is there, a give us a what you should do and what you shouldn't do, you know, some little tips, because again, there are people out there who may not know about horses, and there may be people who are listening who are, and they'll go, oh yeah, I didn't know that. Or yes, I totally agree. So
my biggest nugget of wisdom for Joe Public, do not feed a horse that does not belong to you. So you will have seen loads of stuff in the, I mean, you might have done, you might not have done, but you might have seen quite a bit of in the media where people are going on country walks and enjoying themselves in lockdown and think it's nice to give a horse a treat in a paddock. And unfortunately, horses have really specific requirements when it comes to their diet and in terms of what they can and can't eat. So feeding a horse a carrot seems really innocent, but if that horse is a two-year-old that has never encountered a carrot in its life, it won't know how to eat it. And the other issue with that is that horses don't have a gag reflex. Right. So they can't be sick. So like if you feed something and it gets stuck in their throat, they can get rid of it because they've got a gag reflex. Horses haven't. So if you give them a small piece of carrot or a small piece of apple or a polo, or I've even heard of people feeding horses potatoes. Why? I don't know. If you give a horse something that's like that, excuse me, it will just get stuck in its windpipe. And if the owner isn't there, that horse will suffocate. The only way to sort a horse that's choking out is to sedate it, reach down its throat and clear the blockage. So it sounds super morbid. Sorry to bring the tone down, guys. But I feel like this is a really good opportunity to just share.
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't feed your child something without asking you first, because I don't know what allergies your child has. Horses have allergies. Mm-hmm. Horses can also get an illness called laminitis, which is the horse equivalent of diabetes.
Right, okay.
Through spring grass. It's all sugar related, mm-hmm. and it can be fatal. Mm-hmm. So if you see a horse that's on a paddock that mm-hmm. looks like it's got no grass in it, it's probably because it's laminitic and it needs to have its weight managed. So it's even more important that you don't feed it. Always, always, always just ask the permission of the owner before you give the animal.
Yeah.
End of.
I suppose it's a bit like, you wouldn't go up and pet somebody's dog without doing that. And I always say that to my kids. We've got dogs. I know you've got dogs as well. Our dogs are suited for them because they've been around them all the time and they know them. But I always say to the kids, don't just go and pet people's dogs. And we say with our dogs, when we take them out walking, which we've got such a big garden, we don't always tend to. People are thinking, I'm going to call the RSPCA now. He doesn't walk his dogs. We have got a massive garden. We say to people, don't touch the dogs. Don't touch them. Because kids, and then parents do it as well. And I always find, I don't know about you with dogs, I will always be in a, I think, is it the right word, passive aggressive? Yeah, where you're passive.
You've got, like, submissive, yeah, where you're
submissive. That's the one, yeah. So you're submissive towards the dogs. But ready to run away if they're not very nice. However, when dogs come up, I'll always say to the owner, is it okay? Even as an adult, because I don't want to get bloody bitten, but I'll say to the kids, don't touch dogs, you know, but I'll always say, is it okay to stroke? With any sort of, definitely with horses, because horses can kick, but they can also bite as well, can't they?
Yeah, they can. And like horses are herd animals, so there's a pecking order. So if there's more than one in the field, and one horse is getting fed and the other one isn't, and the other one's the boss, there's going to be an argument because they will come charging over. And if you're in the way, you're in the way. Mm. And I think it's just etiquette, isn't it? It's just manners. I don't, like you say, I don't stroke other people's pets without asking. No. I don't feed other people's pets without asking. Mm. Even my best friends who bring their dogs round, if I want to give them a treat, I ask. I say, can Bobby have this bit of meat, because although the dogs are probably sitting there going, yes, I can have that bit of ham, Auntie Shona, and I love that, and that's going to be delicious, I know for a fact he's on weight management or he's on medication. You know, you just I refer back to people's kids because I think people relate to that better. I would not come up and feed your kid a bag of peanuts without asking you, because your kid might have an allergy.
Exactly. So great tip. So if you're out on your walks, now that restrictions are being dropped down, if you're out on your nice country walks and you see a horse, don't just feed it, because you don't know. So, and
you know, appreciate them being there. They don't need feeding. If you think they need feeding, ring the RSPCA or World Horse Welfare. Don't feed them yourself. Don't take it upon yourself.
And that's a really good, really good tip. Could you give us another a do maybe with regards, because that was a bit of a don't.
What you should do. I think observe their body language. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my friends when I was growing up were terrified of horses, and they'd come up and go, oh my God, he's going to get me. Horses are really expressive in their faces. So if a horse is walking up to you with its ears forward, it's going, ooh, interesting. You're a new person. What are you going to feed me? If a horse is coming at you with its ears pinned back, that means get the F out of my way. I'm going to have you. Mm-hmm. Just observe their body language. Approach them nice and calmly, nice and don't go running up to them, because they will probably run away. They're flight animals. So and unless they're like my horse Storm, where they just assume that everything's going to feed them.
one of my dogs. Dogs just like, feed me, give me food. Yeah.
We've actually been out riding and he'll see a postman and he's like, is that for me? I'm like, no, mate.
no post for you today, son. None for you. So you've got two horses then? Is it all one?
We did have two. We've just got the one now. So my husband's horse went back to his owner. Right. and Dan's just having riding lessons now. Yeah, and we've got my horse Storm, who's 6 years old, so he's the equivalent of a teenager. Mm-hmm. You can imagine what that's like, having a half a ton of teenager to handle. That's quite entertaining.
And what breed of horses?
He's a traditional gypsy cob.
Okay.
So he looks like all of the other ponies that you see tethered around Fenland. He's a black and white.
Yes, there are a lot. For those that don't live in the area, there are normally quite a lot. So
there's a lot kicking about. So he's,
brilliant.
And what's lovely about Storm is that I've ridden both of his parents. I've been really lucky enough to know and ride both of his parents. And I've known him since he was born. And I've had him since he was 18 months old. So I've literally known him since he was an egg.
Oh, and I'll tell you what, that thing about the ears forward and ears back, that just makes sense. And I never thought of anything like that, because I understand dogs, if they're scared or they're unsure, their ears go back, or if they're sort of looking, and I've got two shepherds, so they've got massive, one of them's got massive ears, got like bat ears on the top. But yeah, I didn't know. That's really interesting, really little nugget of wisdom to tell people out there.
Their ears can tell you a lot. So if a horse's ears, if he's got one forward and one twitching, that means he's not sure. He's not quite sure. So he's
okay.
Don't know what's happening. There's something going on, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if I should be excited or if I should run away. Mm. Keep an eye on their ears. That's probably the best bet.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, thank you. That has some good old information about horses. A horsey person that you are.
Horse education.
Next thing is real quick fire question. Right. Top three programs you're watching on TV. I can probably guess one of them already. Do we have a common interest in?
First one, the one that we're watching at the moment is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Nine-Nine. Yas Queen.
It's just super easy watching. We've just needed something that's a little bit dumbed down, should I say, just a bit easy.
Yeah.
So we watched that. We also recently watched Superstore, which was also hilarious.
Oh, I love that. Why have we never spoken about Superstore before? What's going on?
I can't think what her name is now. Who's
America Ferreira?
No, the assistant manager.
Follow her on Instagram. Oh, what's her name? I can't remember.
I said Dina, but it's not Gina. But
it's Dina.
Dina.
Dina. Dina. Yeah. Dina.
She's brilliant. Cool.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Have you finished that now? How far have you got from that? Well, there's have you done all the? Because there's another series, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah, series 7, which is the last series. It's not. I think they've only just finished filming it, because I follow that on Instagram as well. And they've only just finished filming it.
Oh, we've got that to watch then.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for it to come out, because it's only been released in the States, and I found that because my dad started watching it, and then he went, well, I'm not too sure on this, and I started watching it, and of course I thought I was hooked. I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, and of course all the series there, you just watch and watch and watch and watch.
I love it, but it did make my HR brain twitch a little bit. There were a few bits in it where, because it's like they set it up, don't they? Like, the manager's got to make this big decision, and the manager cocks up the decision and, you know, all of that. And I did get to a point where I was sat there just like, oh, my God, I can't, like, no.
Well, the opening scene that they did, they have a clip of it on Netflix. And the opening scene is where Dina is talking to, who's the guy? I've forgotten what his name is now. My mind's gone back. Jonah, and says, "Oh, so you're a heterosexual male? That's fine." And you're like, that was the first opening scene. I thought, I wonder if Shana's watched this. This is an HR nightmare.
I have to watch it when I'm in the right frame of mind, otherwise it makes my HR brain twitch.
But again, with Superstore, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it is one of those easy watches, which is funny, but is also quite nice. And I'll be honest, you know, I'm a softie, and I watched it, and there were bits in it, and I was like, I just sat there and I was like, yes, get in there. Yeah. You know, we knew that was going to happen, but that's brilliant. And I did laugh as well. I did laugh at a lot of it.
Yeah,
and
there were There's some heartwarming scenes in it, isn't it? You're just like, oh, that's good. I like that.
And what's your other one then? So you got Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and which Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and for those out there that Shona and I know that are on a WhatsApp group, we do put references to Nine-Nine, and I don't think they get it. So easiest thing to do for them, watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. If you've got Netflix, it's on there, watch it, and then you will either love it or hate it. So
they are the only GIFs that I use on my WhatsApp. So
yeah, and we use them to each other, and everybody sits there and goes, what? What's all this about?
So awkward.
And what's your other one? You got another one?
I can't think what we've watched recently. What we started watching Yellowstone on Amazon Prime, and that
okay.
really good. But you have to pay for each season, which put us off a little bit. So then we got into The Cowboy Way, which if you're well into cowboy stuff, it'll just make you want to go to Alabama and be a cowboy. Basically, it just follows like a group of ranchers in Alabama. And
right up your and Dan's street then for the
it solidly for a week when we had a week off. It was awesome.
Oh, brilliant. I haven't seen Yellowstone or the cowboy one either. But I'll definitely have a look at those. But the other two I watch religiously anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Yellowstone was good. Yeah. The storyline was a bit wishy washy. But it's set in Montana, which is somewhere that we really want to go. So I was like, yeah, look, we can go to this place and we can go and see this.
Nice. So we spoke a little bit, and we mentioned at the beginning of this as well, you actually do your own podcast.
I do.
And you allow me to come on and warble on about health and safety stuff once a month. And you've been running that you've been doing the podcast. What episodes?
It's been going for about a month now. So, yeah. And I think we're on episode, I think I've just recorded episode 10, I think. So the podcast is called How to HR. And the point of it is that it helps business owners get a little bit of HR support and just general understanding of all the jargon and all the terminology that we use, and just understand a little bit more about how it can support your business. So, so we have the episode with you, Jim, where we talk about health and safety and the benefits of that and things that you need to be aware of and things you need to do. And then the HR side of stuff, I don't want it to be an employment law update, because that's for me. I get that. That, you know, the business owners of the world don't need an employment law update. They just need to know what they do need to do and what they don't need to do. So far we've covered things like how HR can help your business. We've got an episode coming out tomorrow that talks all about discrimination, but we really break it down. So in tomorrow's episode, I explain what discrimination means. So when an employee throws that word out at you, you know if there is a problem or if they're just talking rubbish. So that's kind of the point of it, is to give everybody a bit more confidence in knowing a little bit more about HR and what it's all about.
Has it been going well?
Been getting a really, really good response. And I think the more that we dig, you know, the first few episodes will be quite introductory to me, introductory to HR, and busting a few HR myths and stuff like that. I think the more we dig into stuff and dig into topics, I think people are really going to find that very useful and very informative. I hope, anyway. That's the point of it.
I've spoke to a few people that have listened to it, and I've not just because I'm on it, but I think that, you know, I want to support you like you're supporting me today. And I've pushed it out to people who don't even live in the area, and they've had a listen and said it's a nice podcast. It talks about what it needs to talk about, and there are, you know, out there, there are thousands of podcasts of all different shapes and sizes, and as I said to somebody I was talking to the other day, you know, there are lots of health and safety podcasts, but I didn't want to structure this one like that. But yours is to the point, and you have people on there, and it sort of says it how it is, and people don't know what they don't know. It is. People don't know what they don't know, and that's the second time I've used that today with somebody else. But it's about getting out there, and that's the way that you build it and get people interested in it.
And it's making it accessible for people, because I appreciate I run my own business and I don't employ anybody. It's just me. I don't have to worry about anybody else. I don't have time to sit and read blogs all day. No. So for me, podcasts, especially having the horses as well, like when I leave work, I go straight down the yard and I'm getting the horses done and I'm, you know, doing jobs. So having a podcast on when I'm doing that is brilliant, because that's how I absorb the stuff I want to know. If I want to learn something new, I go and find a podcast about it. Exactly. So that I can just put it on when I'm driving or when I'm doing the horses or if I'm walking the dogs, and it just sinks into your brain and it doesn't feel like effort. It doesn't feel like you have to sit and read for ages.
Exactly. And I second that. I've definitely found a massive love for podcasts over the last sort of 6 months or so, listening to them and listening to new information. So can you tell our listeners where they can find you with regards to your podcast and your company and your business and everything that you do? This is your couple of minutes to tell us everything and, you know, advertise yourself.
Amazing. So the How to HR podcast is available on all podcasting platforms. So it's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the lot. You just search How to HR. You can find me on Instagram at LilacHRLTD. You can find me on Facebook at LilacHRLTD. You can find me on LinkedIn and just search for LilacHR and I will be there. You can also find me on my website. So my website is my central place for all the information about how you can work with me and what I can support your business with. So that's lilachr.co.uk. And if you have any questions about anything to do with HR and you want to book a free, completely no obligation, completely complimentary discovery call with me, then email me at info@lilachr.co.uk. And yeah, I'll see exactly how I can help you and hopefully support you through your query.
Brilliant. And I would say that I've known you for coming up to over a year now. And, you know, if we decide that we want to employ anybody, then we'll definitely be. And we work in conjunction with regards to stuff, and we bounce stuff off of each other, because health and safety and HR do work together. So thank you for that. Last question before we go. What's your favourite alcoholic or non-alcoholic drink? Because I know you're a pub person.
Question. Okay, I've got three and I'm going to...
Yeah, that's fine. Just chuck them all out. That's fine.
So number one is red wine, because that's my go-to everyday, fancy a nice drink. It's going to be a glass of red. If I'm going to the pub, it will be an espresso martini or a glass of red if they don't do espresso martinis, but I ain't going to a pub that don't do martinis. and I do enjoy a bit of fizz as well. But yeah, that's probably in order of my faves.
Nice. I'll definitely second you on the red wine, because that's one of mine when I'm drinking. So Shona, you've been an absolute star. Thank you ever so much for coming on today. I've really enjoyed it. And again, it is a bit weird being the other way round from what we normally do. So as again, anyone listening out there, the How to HR podcast, and you can listen to both of us, and mainly Shona, but when I'm on there as well, and you can listen to us and see it from the other way round. So Shona, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed today. It's been really good. I appreciate it. And that was episode 3. And we'll see you all again very soon. Thank you, Shona.
Thanks very much, Jim. It was an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you all again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.